Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is December 6th, 2024, Friday, December 6th, 2024. And we're reading from the Big Book. We're in How It Works, page 63, that second paragraph. We're reading and sharing on that paragraph. We are now at step three, and ending with abandon ourselves utterly to Him. Today's readers, we have Matthew G. for the steps, Tenzin P. for the traditions. Nick F. is going to read the text today. Elena C. is reading page 164. Our backup readers, Nancy R., newcomer greeter, Tony B., second hour host, Matt J.F., announcements. Kathy S. is going to take care of those. All right. Reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, December 5th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,972. That's 21972. 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting for yesterday, the 5th of December, 21,973. That's 21973. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Had a vision for you, Big Book Study. Our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Matthew G. is going to read the 12 steps for us.
Hi, Matthew G., recovered compulsive overeater in Paris, France. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Appreciate it. Next up is Tenzin P. with the 12 traditions.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from Tacala, Mexico. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. 4, each group should be autonomous, accepting matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive reader who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any religious facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, prestige, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much. Akash.
Thanks, Tenzin. Thanks, Matthew. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask you to keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. The meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we're back in a Big Book again and how it works, page 63, the second paragraph. We're starting with, we were now at step 3, and then we're ending, abandon ourselves utterly to him. And we're sharing on that paragraph only. And I've asked Nick F. to read this paragraph for us and share on it.
Good morning, family. I'm Nick F. in Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater. We were now at step 3. Many of us said to our Maker, as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee, to be with me and to do with me as thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, the victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him. I'm just at a loss for words, and I'm trying to read through my tears. You know, I went to so many psychiatrists and so many different, like, it was this one place, Transformation Center, used to fill out all this information, and one person on the line shared that, you know, I went to all them places, and the reason they never helped was because I was looking for a miracle, and no entity or no being can give me a miracle. And today I sit here and I get to read, and I'm just so humbled because now I don't have to look for a miracle. I am. I'm the miracle. Over 400 pounds. I did talk to a nutritionist yesterday because my sponsor suggested, after giving away over 250 pounds to God, that let's look at some things in this size body with this mind. And my nutritionist, my BMI was over 68, and my maintenance would be 26, and all these different numbers, and none of that shit matters. And it says, at last, you know, what is it, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. You know, some of you are doctors on this line helping heal my broken spirit. And some of you are like construction workers helping, you know, rebuild my ideas about life. And I used to write this third step prayer over and over and over again, some 6 odd years ago before I was sober and Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said, God, why you got me writing this? Going back to a home that I hated, going back to, you know, a job and kids, and I didn't know what to do with none of it. And when I first got abstinent in 2021, I looked and I just, that prayer was right there. It was in my spirit because I had memorized it in the Serenity Prayer, and all these different prayers were right there because I wrote them when I couldn't do anything with them. And now today I get to learn how to live by these things. God, I offer my life to you, everything that I am, everything that I'm not, everything that I think that I ever would want to be. I get to sit here and be a miracle in a comfortable home, thanking God for peace, thanking God for where he brought me from. I don't know how to live in all this newness. I got options today. And I heard somebody share that back then I had no choice but to eat. I had no choice but to drink. No choice but to do this or that. Today I got options. Today I got choices. I got to know in my spirit. And I get to say yes to some things and some people. And I get to say no to some things and some people. This is freedom. And at last, I give my life to God. And thank you to everybody on this line who do service day after day after day. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. Perfect timing. All right, now we're going to open up the line for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you shared Wednesday and Thursday, you know the deal. Please step back where others have a chance to share. And I need your name, state, and first initial of your last name. So who wants to bang this out?
Tina S.
Jenny,
Colorado.
Rick J.
Tina.
Liz E. UK.
Okay. All right. 1 second. Tina S. Jen.
Christina
Rick,
J.
PC. Rick.
Charlotte.
Rick. There was someone before.
PB.
Yeah, I got you.
It was. Christina J.
No, I before you, Christina.
Liz E. Tony UK.
B. That's it, Liz E. Liz E. Pete.
Did you get Tony B?
There you go, Tony B. And a place to be. Who else?
Troy C. Florida.
Troy. Who else wants in? We got a couple more spots.
Vanita L.
Vanita. All right, that's a great list. We're going to go with this. Tina S., Jen A., Rick E., Liz E., Christina J., Pete B., Tony B., Troy C., Vanita L. All right, Tina, you're up.
Thanks so much, Russ. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow, what a great lead share. You know, when I got here, I didn't come here to get spiritual. I say that all the time. I didn't come here to get a God, none of that kind of stuff. But by the time I got here, I was totally beaten, you know. So I was really ready to listen. And, you know, and it talks about, you know, God, I offer myself to thee. And this third step prayer is a game changer for sure. You know, and today, you know, when I first got here and read this, I thought, oh, that sounds nice, you know, but it wasn't really something that I thought I wanted. You know, I didn't think I wanted to be service to somebody else. You know, I really was, you know, really selfish and self-centered. That's who I was. And that's who I still can be today. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, after, you know, doing the deal, you know, and getting a sponsor who has taken me through the steps, and I've gone through the steps several, many, many times, you know, when I say this prayer every day, I really mean it. You know, I want God to build with me and do with me as he would, you know, and to get rid of this bondage of self, which keeps me in a place of angst for sure. And so that, you know, to take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help by power they love and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. You know, and then it says, we thought well before taking this step. making sure we were ready, you know. And I'm doing another step study, and we're on step two, but it's in the 12 and 12, and we take one paragraph at a time. And let me just tell you, one, you know, I really love step two today, not so much when I first got here, but this prepares me because it says came to believe, you know, and so that, you know, by the time I get to step three, you know, I'm willing to do this deal. And all that is for me, you know, is to go on with the rest of the steps. You know, I'm placed in a position, you know, to have a power greater than myself do with me as he would. And then, you know, I work the rest of the steps to have this spiritual awakening, to be the person that God would have me be. The longer I stay sober and abstinent, the more I want God's will for me to be today. The more I want to be the person that God would have me be, you know. And I loved what was talked about. When I got here, you know, I didn't want any of that. And I was so broken. And I usually do get emotional a lot when I talk about how I have been transformed through a power greater than myself, because again, that's not what I wanted when I got here. But that's certainly why I stay, to be a different person so that I can be of service to you and to those about me, to God and to those about me. So I'm really looking forward to hearing the rest of the shares. This is a great paragraph, and with that I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Tina. Next up is Jen A, followed by Rick J.
Good morning, Russ. It's Jen A here in Colorado, recovered. Thank you, God, for saving a girl like me today. Awesome opening share. Thanks, Nick. Such passion. You know, I'll never forget the first time that I took step three. I was sitting in a corner outside in a Starbucks. My sponsor was there, and I hadn't memorized it yet, but she said it was okay to read it from the book. So I opened my book and to this page, and you know, tears dripping down my face as I read it. You know, it's a big decision to take step three, and it's not that I just take it once, but I just remember that first time, making up my mind, right, and giving myself over, like transferring the possession of my life, my will, and my soul over to God. Like that was a big deal, because God had done me dirty and wrong, and hadn't given me exactly what I wanted for years. And I had abandoned God, but God hadn't abandoned me. And that's why I love this meeting and how we've been listening to the promises at the top of the page. And they give us the promises and they say, you know, this is what's going to happen if you trust me with your life, Jennifer Marie. This is what will happen. But you have to choose to do it. And, you know, try doing it a couple times, you know. Step one, I'm powerless. My life's unmanageable. I know there's something bigger than me. And then what do I have to do? I have to open up my palms to the sky and stop gripping, you know, the tug of war rope so freaking tight, trying to take it back, do what I think is right. No. And I'm just going to say, sometimes it takes me a while to get to step three when I'm doing inventory today. But when I do, it's so freeing. And I get down on my knees and I can pray this prayer. And it's so beautiful, because what am I doing? I'm giving myself over to God, and then I'm asking him, because I have an awareness, and he's going to help me seek him and surrender my life over to him in this four-step process that comes next, and then he'll give me the knowledge of how to carry it out. This isn't the end. This is just the beginning, and that's what's so beautiful. It's a life-giving prayer and experience at the beginning of the steps. There's no amen here, people. You know why? Because it's not the end. This is just the beginning. The amen comes after 6 and 7, after you've turned it all over to God. So that's the beauty of this. And I'm just so, so grateful for step three, for all the steps for this program and how it's laid out. And thank you, God, for giving me a heart just like yours when I decide to turn things over to you. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thank you, Jen. Appreciate it. All right, next up is Rick J, followed by Liz E.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for your service, Russ. And thank you, Nick, for your beautiful lead. And love hearing Tina and Jen. I just feel very loved and connected and understood, because I'm hearing people who are speaking my language. They're speaking the language of the heart, you know, and that's, for me, when I hear people share, you know, with this passion and, you know, and the experience and love and caring, you know, that is, for me, I know that God is, I understand God is moving through the people that are in my life, that my higher power has placed in my life. And one thing I really love is the italics, you know, as we understood him. So I don't have to conform. I don't have to obey. I don't have to concede anything other than my own will. I don't have to concede my, you know, vision or what works for me to something else that someone else believes. All I have to do is continue on with step two, you know, coming to believe in a power that's greater than me to restore me to sanity, you know, and I lived a life of insanity. And it was like Nick shared too, you know, it's like I had no choice. That's insanity. I had no choice but to do the things that were killing me, And I had no choice. You know, I had heard once from a well-intentioned sponsor decades ago when I came into another program, but, you know, and I said my third step prayer with him, and, you know, down on my knees, you know, and he was saying, then, you know what, you don't have to do this again. I realize today that I have to do this. I have to say this prayer. This is for me. I say it all the time. You know, just that, the humility, that willingness to be teachable, that I'm no longer running the show. I'm turning my life and my will over to the care of God as I understand God. What works for me? What works for me? And I don't have to do it with people. It was important for me to do it with one person, and occasionally you know, when I'm going through the steps, I do that again. But, you know, I can say this prayer anytime, and I can put it in my own words. I love doing that. I love doing these prayers and just writing out the spirit of what these prayers mean to me and writing them in my own words.
Time.
That I pass.
Thanks, Rick. Next up is Lizzie, followed by Christina J.
Good morning. Good afternoon. My name is Liz E. for Elegance from Bristol in Southwest England. Thank you to everybody on the line and everybody doing service. So appreciate and so much gratitude. And if you haven't shared or you're new, just do star one. God wants to hear you. We want to hear you. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I know I need to share. So this prayer is just amazing. I do say it at least every day, sometimes more than once a day. And it is the basis of my recovery. And, you know, God is so kind and generous. I offer myself. He doesn't force me to give myself to him. He wants me to offer. He wants me to come to him. He wants me to build with me and do with me. But the thing that stuck out recently for me was, and I hadn't really taken it on board, take away my difficulties. And this is my central problem, is my difficulties, my part in life, how I do life, how I mess up life, how I get in the way of myself, how I stop God getting into my life. And my difficulties are the God blockers. They're the things that stop God coming through to me. They're the things that I put me in turmoil. They put me in restless, irritable, discontent kind of status. So understanding what my difficulties are, and I've just found this program to be the most amazing self-awareness of me, Liz. What are my issues? What am I doing to push people away? What am I doing to mess up life for those around me and myself? It's just amazing, these lines. I will admit it took me a while to get my head around the language, and it didn't mean much to me at the beginning. But I just encourage you, stay with it. Talk to lots of recovered people, and you will get there. Thanks a million. Have a beautiful day. Bye.
All right, Liz. Thank you. Next up is Christina J., followed by PP.
Hey there, Rick. Hey, everybody. You know, I took this step so many times, and I had no clue what it meant. I thought, okay, my food, my difficulties in life. What are my difficulties in life? I pondered that for a long time. What are my difficulties? You know, and this basically is, you know, I'm giving away my unmanageability to you. And my difficulties had to be taken away from me before I would surrender. I really had to come to the end of the road of myself. I just didn't know what my difficulties were. I didn't know what was, you know, stopping me. I thought I was utterly abandoning myself to him. I thought I was thought well before taking this. I had no idea what I needed to surrender. And I like what Nick said, everything that I ever thought I would want to be. That was one of my big ones. I wrote this thing this morning, just a short line. I was thinking of someone else, but it so applies for me. Grace lasts a long time, but sometimes ignorance lasts longer. The ignorance of denial, of stubbornness. And sometimes that last line, it lasts so long that you die in it. And I'm so grateful today that I don't have to die in the ignorance of my denial and my stubbornness. Because I just have been literally stripped, and I didn't realize it. I wasn't stripped of a job. I wasn't stripped of a house, a husband. Thank God. I know some of y'all have reached those points. I was stripped of the thing that God knew meant the most important thing to me in my life. And I had to slowly surrender that with sort of a, you know, a slow hitting my head against the wall. How long do I need to hit against my head against the wall before I realize the walls aren't freaking coming down and I'm in misery? You know, I'm pushing and shoving towards this thing, this something that I think is going to be the do-all and be-all of my life, and it's not. Today, service to others with the compost of my life at 66 years on this earth, and I have done a lot of things. I've done many, many, many things. I've had a very interesting life, and now I get to give that back. It's not only about the food, it's about the unmanageability of my life, the things I'd done, the things I pushed and shoved, the way I searched for God and searched for spirituality in the world that I didn't know that this book would give to me on a silver platter. But I just did the work. And it didn't come right away, like I said. I was still in all of this bondage of self. And God just slowly took it away from me with life experiences and painful things that happened. You know, I asked God recently, and be careful what you ask God for. Please show me where I'm still selfish and self-centered. And he showed me. I went into a convenience store to get a cup of coffee. They didn't have my milk that I wanted to put in it. So I left the coffee on the counter. The guy comes running out after me. Hey, are you trying to, you know, steal the coffee by not paying for it? Here it is. Give me a dollar. I was so ashamed. He showed me where I was selfish and dishonest. I went back the next day and I made a mess. I was so grateful for that lesson. It was very painful. A small thing, but it was very painful. And I learned I'll never do that again. So I'm utterly abandoning myself to him today. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Christina. Before Pete jumps on, let me let you know where we're at. We're in How It Works. Page 63, second paragraph. We are now at step three, ending with abandon ourselves utterly to him. All right, Pete, you're up, brother.
Hey, Russ. Thanks for taking the meeting. Excuse me. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. And, yeah, you know, lots of good stuff this morning. You know, I guess the first thing that I was thinking was that, you know, I don't really think I know anything more about eating or nutrition or you know, food plans that I today than I knew from when I was a little kid. I mean, I didn't need Overeaters Anonymous to tell me, you know, that I eat too much. You know, my body showed it, and everybody around me told me, you know what I mean? Everybody around me told me, don't eat that stuff. Put down the ice cream, put down the nuts, put down the chips, put down the soda. You know, but I got to a point, like a point that's just completely unnatural. I couldn't keep myself from hurting myself with food. I lost the power of choice. I had so much substances going in my body, and the phenomenon of craving just took over. I lost the power to choose whether or not I could eat. Right, and for me, my experience was I reached out to a power that I wasn't sure I believed in. I asked that power to remove this merciless obsession, and that's where it went away. I didn't outwork it. I didn't outthink it. I didn't reach out calls and attend meetings. The obsession to hurt myself with food was removed. I recognized that when this food's in my body, I have no power over it, and I couldn't keep myself from putting it in my body. And I asked the power to remove the obsession, and that's how the obsession got removed. Right, and then, our second step tells us that we have to, we have to come to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. What is sanity? Right, sanity is just having the right mind, be of sound mind to know that these substances, if used, will cause an abnormal reaction. I'll no longer be able to control how much I could take, so I can't use them. That's what the power restores. It doesn't make me a good person, and right? That's what the power restores. So then that's step three. The choice is, okay, well, if that's the case, if you can't do this on your own and other people can't do it, well, then you need a power greater than yourself, and you have to turn your life and will over that power, right? The word offer in this context means I give, right? And if I offer something to someone and they accept it, well, then it's no longer mine, right? It says abandon ourselves utterly to him. Those are strong words, right? We don't need to water them down to make them palatable to somebody and to just walk through the rest of these things. I'm going to shut up with this. The big book was written 15 years later. They wrote the step book. Essays on all the steps are in the 12 and 12, the AA 12 and 12. 15. If I asked you something when you were 1 year old, and then I asked you the same question when you were 15 years old, wouldn't the answer be different? Wouldn't you have more clarity about what the step is? And in the AA 12 and 12, in step three, it tells us that the effectiveness of the whole AA program will rest upon how well and earnestly we have tried to come to a decision to turn our will and lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it. Tony B is up, followed by Troy C.
Thank you, Ross. Sorry for the delay there. My name's Tony. I am a compulsive overeater, no doubt about that. Gratefully recovered just for today, and thanks to God's grace and mercy. All of you, my teachers, these 12 steps, thank you for your service. And everyone on this line, thank you, Nick, for your lead share. Beautiful. And I just feel that, this ability to offer myself, it's all of me, and it's the bits that I don't understand, and it's the bits that I don't see it. It's dark and cloudy, but God will take that as well. I'm offering all of it. I'm offering my unbelief. Sometimes I'm offering. My doubts and my fears and my not good enough and my, am I pleasing enough to you? All of the things that come up, all of being human I can offer to God. I don't have to know what all my character defects are. I do some work to ferret them out, but God knows. I have to just trust that he knows and he's got a path for me, and If I offer myself to him, he will gently guide me and lead me. And yes, I worry that I'm not good enough, that I don't deserve, you know, a place in heaven. But it's okay. I can give that to him too. And, you know, all I can do is be a fellow among fellows and walk along with you guys and just do my best. And he knows that. He knows when I'm doing my best and next right step and helping other people and going down on my knees and saying, God, I need your help again. And I need it again, and I need it again throughout the day. Yeah, it's a beautiful step, and with that I'll share the time. I love you guys so much, and thank you for being my teachers. Love and blessings.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. Next up is Troy C., and Vanita L. is coming up after that.
All right, this is Troy C. from Florida. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you so much, Russ, for your service. What a powerful meeting this morning. From the first share on, this has been spectacular. You know, for many years in the beverage program, I tried to really think about what the third step should mean. Am I not doing it right? And I think what I've learned in this program is the third step has kind of, it's had this capacity to evolve. You know, what does surrender mean? What does it mean to turn my will and my life over to the care of my higher power? It means whatever it means to me in the moment that I'm doing it. So when I first did it, all that I knew was, I mean, I was an atheist. I had no understanding of a higher power. What I knew was I couldn't control my eating. I couldn't decide when I was and wasn't going to eat. I couldn't decide how long I was going to stay on a diet. I was powerless over this thing, and my life had become unmanageable. And OA was the last game in town. But I had come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity with this thing, not because, like I said, it was the last game in town. I had no other option. So when it came time to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, I was just writing a blank check. You know, whatever you want me to do. I have no other choice. I will do whatever. I was surrendered. I was done fighting. And if that, in the moment, basically what that meant to me was, I'm going to do whatever my sponsor asked me to do next, whatever the book asked me to do next. Then, you know, kept doing this work, start to establish a relationship with a higher power, I start to look at the preceding paragraphs and it really starts to sink in that this, you know, this life run on self-will is causing all this trouble. I'm the actor trying to direct the whole play. And, you know, I start to learn about my character defects in the paragraphs that come next and in the inventory process. And I start to see this idea that I have a new employer. And if I try to stay close to my higher power and do its work well, I will be provided for. I don't need to angle for the promotion at work. I don't need to constantly make sure that you like me and she likes me and this family member is placated. I don't need to do the managing. I need to do my higher power's will. And how do I know what that will is? Well, that, you know, through doing the remainder of the steps and through growing that relationship with power, then the answers slowly begin to come. It slowly starts to be a working part of the mind. The occasional hunch or inspiration, these things start to build. And then the third step becomes, okay, I'm in a situation where I know what, I have a pretty clear indicator what my higher power's will is, but it's going to get in the way of this thing that I want. And it's in that moment that I have to choose. Am I going to do my higher power's will, or am I going to try to get the shiny car or whatever? You know, the context changes, not always worldly things. But anyway, that's what it means to me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Troy. Appreciate you. All right, Vanita L's up, and then we're going to take another list.
Good morning, everybody. Vanita L, recovered compulsive overeater from Georgia. You know, it's awesome to reread this step, and I don't know, it's having a really deep effect on me, but I'm not sure I can totally, it's like those words, I love those words. I feel very drawn to them. Abandon ourselves utterly to God. And, you know, my God's not a him. My God's not a her. My God is some, you know, magnificent, unfathomable, ununderstandable energy that is everything. And abandoning myself to that is, I don't know, it strikes me as even deeper than surrender. It's like surrender I see as kind of releasing my resistance. Abandoning myself sounds more active, and it's really making me want to sit and meditate today and go, you know, am I totally abandoning myself to God? Because my mind's telling me right now, if I did that, I'd be in absolute ecstasy and bliss and stuff, which I know those states, but I don't really know whether that's true, whether that's the addict looking for, you know, a shot or something. But anyway, it's lovely to be remembered, you know, to remember this last, abandon ourselves utterly to him. And to me, obviously, that's a continual process in my experience. Thank you.
Thanks, Vanita. Appreciate it. All right. You know where we're at, how it works. Page 53, second paragraph. And it starts with, we were now at step three, ending with abandon ourselves early to him. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, allow others to share. Name first, and
Elena,
share name and where you're from.
Anita.
Okay.
Anita.
I got Elena C. Anita.
Margaret.
Hold on. Was that Anita? Anita.
Yeah.
Anita. And
Jane Abbott.
Sherry B. in Maryland.
Is it Sherry?
Yep.
Pam F. in New York.
Margaret D. Georgia.
Pam F. All right, I think that's going to be it. Hopefully we can get to everybody. And all right. Elena C., Hannah Yetta, Anita L., Anita J., Sherry D., Deanne F., and Margaret D. We'll try to get everybody. All right, you're up, Elena.
Good morning, Russ. Again, you're doing a wonderful job. Thank you for all your service. And, you know, I want to tell you a story about, I'm from Romania, and in Eastern Europe, I believe only there, but I might be wrong, today's St. Nicholas Day. And when I was little, what that meant, that St. Nicholas, well, we would put our boots in the window, and St. Nicholas was bringing us gifts in the boots. And the anticipation of what was going to happen, because, you know, as a child, I believe this power greater than myself is going to bring me something awesome. And it was just the most wonderful experience I've ever had, you know, as a kid and not only. And that's how I look at step three. If I could only, in the process of surrender everything, every cell of my being to my amazing, amazing higher power, and I can have an experience of anticipation of gifts that you know, it will be given to me. Even if it's hard, because as a kid, you know, it wasn't all, it was hard at times. I'm an adult child of an alcoholic, but yet, in spite of all of that, I anticipated St. Nicholas is going to give me and bring me gifts. And if I, and that's my third step experience. You know, a lot of things going in my life right now, and it's hard. And when I practice this step, and I don't feel it, that anticipation all the time. And that's okay. I can still stay willing. I can still stay willing. Anticipation of amazing gift being brought to me unexpectedly. It's what I would like to do today. I would like to take action. You know, and having said that, I need to pause more often throughout the day and be willing to have St. Nicholas in my life. You know, let's just have St. Nicholas today because it's St. Nicholas Day today in my country. And then it's just, it's utterly mean, completely, absolutely. I want to have an experience that completely, absolutely, I will, my higher power will bring me the gift. Just not when I wanted to. You know, because I was looking many times in my boots and I'm like, oops, they're empty. And then one time, here there are the gifts in my boots. And it was absolutely amazing. And the gift of receiving the gift, you know, that's also a spiritual experience, my St. Nicholas experience. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lena. Next up is Hanayeta R., followed by Anita J.
Good morning, Russ. Thank you for your service. Yes, I am Hanayeta R., and I'd like to spell that today, if you don't mind. C-H-A-N-A-Y-E-T-T-A-R from Texas. And the C is silent when you say my name. So it's Hanayeta R., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm really glad to be here in remission today. I love the third step prayer, and today I say it as I'm offering myself to you because I'm thanking you for relieving me, or for doing with me and building me into a much better person than I was. Thank you for relieving me of the bondage of myself because, you know what, then I get to better do your will. And I try every day to do that. I try to make his will and mine be the same so I don't have to struggle. Take away my difficulties so that when I have victory over them, I can share that victory with others and so that they can see through me what he does. And, you know, what a better gift. What a gift. If I have to have an illness, then thank you, God, for giving me an illness that my medicine is giving my will to you. That's my medicine, turning my will over to you. Man, if I have to have an illness, and this is the one I'm really glad I have, you know, because I would like to be able to help others with your power. You know, people, you say, man, you have such willpower. I go, no, I have God power. I don't have willpower. I have God power. And his love and his way of life. And I do want to do his will always. With that, I'll pass. As soon as I say, you know what? It's a miracle. It's all a miracle. When I abandon myself to him, do these steps, it's a miracle, and there's a miracle out there for everybody. If you're struggling or new, don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. It's there for you. Thank you, Russ.
Thank you, Hanayeta. Next up is Anita J., followed by Sherry Dean, and we'll see how we can maybe split up this time as it works out.
Thank you, Russ, very much for your service and all the shares today. I'm Anita J., recovered in Massachusetts. There's so much in step three, but it's got to be done, in my opinion, for me, really with that great humility. And what was humility? It was that I wasn't thinking about me anymore. I'm thinking about somebody else. And, you know, I saw it, because sometimes it's nice to have a marker of what that really means. And all I know is I was very self-absorbed. When I go to church, which of course I went back to church because of OA years ago, I wanted to know that God that I have a little bit better. Anyway, I would be sitting in the pew, looking up, listening to the minister, and thinking of how I look looking at him. And when I finally saw that, I thought, this is so sick. You're thinking of you. And I don't do that anymore. And sometimes, you know, things don't come out the way I thought they would. You know, I have difficulty now that I turn my son over because somehow I've gone off the track with him. And I know there's only one way to right the ship, and that's with God. And that's true of every single thing. And so he didn't promise me a rose garden, but he promised that he would never leave me. And that is the God's truth. Because sometimes I'm walking, you know, down the corridor of where I live, and I just suddenly go to myself, are you there, God? Are you there? And he is. I don't need any answer. I think he's smiling and going, you know, my child, I'm with you. And then I don't feel sheepish. I just feel reassured. And thank you all, because I don't know how I could start my mornings. This is part of my practice, hearing everybody here. I pass.
All right. Looks like we have about 3 minutes left. Thanks, Anita. Sorry about that. Thank you. So we got Sherry D and Deanne. If you could each take a minute and a half, that would be great. And Margaret, sorry about that. We're going to have to either go to the next meeting or sorry about that. All right. Sherry, if you can take a minute and a half, and then Deanne, take a minute and a half.
I will do my best. Just cut me off. Hey, Sherry D, compulsive eater in Maryland. So grateful to be here and have a purpose in this moment. So I just want to share my experience, strength, and hope with someone else that I don't know who it was, but I was having difficulty one morning. I saw someone's name and phone number pop up, but they were available for outreach calls. So I gave her a call. It was early in the morning. She asked what was heavy on my heart, and I told her my daughter, because I know that this disease is coming back when powerful, patient, and persistent. And, you know, when you see a family member with it and you know the dire ends that it can go to, it's very difficult. So I told her it was my daughter, and she asked me if I needed a third step prayer, and I said yes. I've been saying it every morning on my knees for about a year and a half now. And she said, I want you to say that third step prayer, but I want you to use your daughter's name. So I said, God, I offer Abby to thee, to build with her and do with her as thou wilt. Relieve her the bondage of self, that she may better do thy will. Take away her difficulties, the victory over them. May bear witness to those that she would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May she do thy will always. And in that moment, I was given such a gift, because it is my lack of control over people, places, and things that put me back in the food. And that was the most powerful, powerful prayer that I could give in that moment. And I used it over and over again. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I'll keep coming back.
All right. I appreciate that. Next up is Deanne F., and we got a minute and a half.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, you know, I just first want to make an amends, because I kind of slipped my name in there after I had already heard Margaret. I was going to offer this to her if it doesn't take too much time, but if you think I should go, I'll stay. Yes, just keep sharing.
Go for it.
Okay. All right. I'm Deanne App in New York. I am just an incredibly grateful recovered for this day that God woke me up. Compulsive overeater, and I had to share, because this step is, you know, I get out of bed and get on my knees and I say this step. And I do say it throughout the day. And I had a realization about 6 months ago that someone that I just really follow and appreciate, who's a spiritual teacher, speaks about offering, like, really that's the basis of the whole idea. And it really never occurred to me after 30 years of saying this prayer that offer is the word. And offer means everything, and I don't take it back. Like, I offer my food to God and my sponsor every single day, and everything is an offering that doesn't have an outcome attached. And sure. It, okay. Thank you so much for letting me share. Love you guys. Okay.
Sorry about that.
No
At
problem.
At some point, I'm going to get this right so everybody can get a full share. I apologize.
No problem.
All right. So Deanne is our last share, and we thank everyone who shared on this meeting. What a massive meeting. What a great meeting tonight. And let me give you today's share ID. The share ID for Friday, December 6th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,975. That's 21975. And Elena C. is going to now close us out with a reading from the big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll pray to serenity prayer.
Good morning again, Ross. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina, recovered for today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Get freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Recording has been stopped.